Hello, this is Todd Durakon with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, coming to you from my home studio. And we start on the front page. Decatur police deadly force called justified. Prosecutor video backs officers who shot robbery suspect. Tony Reed, Decatur, has this article. The two Decatur Police Department officers who opened fire and killed armed robbery suspect Rocky L. Dupin acted lawfully, Macon County State's Attorney Scott Reuter has concluded. Reuter released his written conclusion Monday. Dupin, 38, was shot 27 times on the afternoon of March 18th after ignoring police commands to stay on the ground before getting up and pulling what turned out to be a precise BB gun replica of a .357 snub-nosed revolver. The officers did not know the gun was not a firearm, and the entire incident was captured on officer body cam videos. I am of the opinion that the officer's use of force in this situation was not in violation of the laws of the state of Illinois, and unfortunately a necessary response to the actions of the deceased, Reuter said in a statement released to the Herald and Review. The officers who fired the shots were Dawson Roberts, 23, and Tanner Brummett, 25, who have both been with the department for 2 years. Reuter based his legal conclusion on their use of lethal force after reviewing an investigation into the shooting carried out by the Illinois State Police and reviewing additional reports from Decatur Police. Counseling was made available to Roberts and Brummett, who were initially placed on leave and then returned to work performing administrative duties. They have since undergone psychological evaluations and now, cleared by the state attorney's report and the police department's own investigation, are back on full duty. In a statement, Decatur Police Chief Shane Brandel described the shooting of Dupin as a tragic incident, but said his officers had been left with no options. Both officers were faced with a situation where they feared for their lives, he said in the statement. They responded in a way to protect themselves and each other so they could go home to their families. We never want an outcome where there is a loss of life, and we'll take reasonable actions to avoid that outcome. But unfortunately, sometimes we are forced into that position, and how an officer reacts may determine whether or not they are included in that loss of life. Talking later with the Herald and Review, the chief said the capturing of the use of lethal force on video from the start to finish of the incident could leave no one with any doubts about how and why it happened the way it did. It really tells a clear story not just to us, the police and others reviewing it, like the state's attorney, but also the public can see what happened, Brandel said. It's all on video, and the public also gets to see just how fast these things happen. Reuter, no big fan of many aspects of the state's recently passed Pretrial Fairness Act, said its insistence that all police departments be equipped with body cams was one big thing it got right. Video is actually the thing that protects police officers more than anything else, Reuter added. It shows that when they are saying such and such happened in a report, you can see that is really what happened. More often than not, the video serves to bolster what a good officer is saying, and if it does happen to show the actions of a bad officer, we need to know that too. Videos are invaluable. Brandished gun. Reuter's report into the shooting spends some time chronicling what would prove to be the final 90 minutes or so of Dupin's life. The state's attorney said Dupin had earlier been seen to brandish the BB gun while robbing the Decatur Discount convenience store, 898 West Grand Avenue, on the afternoon of March 18th. Reuter noted officers Roberts and Brummett had both seen distributed images from the robbery that showed Dupin acting menacingly with a firearm that cannot be determined to be anything other than a real firearm by appearance. The cops had a precise description of Dupin before they encountered him around 3:50 p.m. on the afternoon of the robbery as he walked in the 600 block of West Grand Avenue. The police videos show Dupin being held at gunpoint and at first complying with officers' commands to lie down on the ground before he suddenly changes his mind. Inexplicably, Mr. Dupin rose from his position on the ground, and, as clearly viewed on the officer's body cam and squad car video, began to pull what appeared to be a firearm from under his clothing, Reuters said. Officers at that point had a legitimate fear that Mr. Dupin would use the firearm against them. As they have been trained to do, they fired upon Mr. Dupin to neutralize the threat. Later analysis showed that Roberts had fired 21 shots and Brummett had fired 6 shots, an issue Reuters also addressed in his report. I understand that there will be some who will say that the number of shots was excessive, Reuters said. The timing from the point of the first shot until the last was 8 seconds. During that period, Mr. Dupin was still moving and had the weapon under his control, or the weapon was out of the view of the officers. Especially on the squad car video, it can be observed that just before the final shot was fired, Mr. Dupin appears to move his hand, right hand and arm, as if to possibly retrieve the firearm from under his body. Once deadly force becomes necessary, officers are trained to use that force to eliminate the possible threat. Although the death of Mr. Dupin is regrettable, the officer's response to his actions is not in violation of law. But the ultimate answer as to why Dupin acted the way he did appears to lie beyond the reach of even a video-enhanced investigation. Brandel had noted his department has had some previous history of encounters with Dupin where mental health issues were involved. One area of speculation has been the phenomenon known as suicide by cop, when people in disturbed emotional states deliberately undertake actions they hope will trigger the use of deadly force by law enforcement. Sometimes in suicide by cop, the person involved makes it clear that is what they are doing, Brandel told the Herald and Review. And sometimes they will have made prior statements to family or friends, and we get safety bulletins quite a bit where someone has made a comment like that. But in this particular case, we don't have anything like that, and there is nothing clear that says that is what this is in this case. Was it just somebody making an irrational decision, or was it suicide by cop? Unfortunately, we will never know the answer to that question. Since January of 2021, Decatur police have been involved in 7 officer-involved shootings. In each case, extensive investigations concluded that the use of such force was justified. Move on to education, place to learn. SELA, CELA, helps students manage their mental health. Valerie Wells, Decatur, has this article. Bailey is the most popular student in this social-emotional learning academy. The golden doodle belongs to Principal Jessica Ellison, and while Bailey isn't officially trained to be a comfort or therapy dog, she's a natural and loves to come to school with her mistress and play with her kids, with the kids all day long. It teaches them responsibility and empathy, Ellison said, while watching Bailey run and play with the children in the school's courtyard. Students enjoy getting down on the floor with Bailey to read to her, do math with her, or just sit with her. And for kids who are learning constructive ways to cope with their own problems, a big furry friend is exactly the right prescription. The K-12 alternative school operated by the Macon Pyatt Special Education District on the corner of Martin Luther King Jr. Drive and Garfield Avenue is for students with mental illness, trauma, or behavioral challenges who have an individualized learning plan, IEP, and have been having difficulty thriving in a regular education setting. The students' team, which includes parents and Decatur Public Schools staff, both from the home school and from the academy, decides if placement at CELA would benefit the student. When a student reaches their goals, they can return to their regular school. Ellison said students are first guided by staff, but gradually learn to recognize their own needs and advocate for themselves. For example, if a student needs a break to leave the class or take a walk around the school to get calmer, teachers will excuse them, but eventually the students learn to recognize when they need that break and ask. And when their need to leave class diminishes and they're spending more time in the classroom with better behavior than they are out of it, they are approaching the time when they can return to regular school. Staff gives them cards that say, I need a break to take them, to take with them if they are uneasy about asking aloud, and the staff at their regular school is aware that the student might need to use those cards. Some students, however, prefer to stay at SELA. At the high school level, the student can request that. I feel comfortable here, said sophomore Deshaun Austin, who began a small business at the school with friends Travion Perkins and Tyreen Green. Every Thursday, the boys take orders from staff and on Fridays deliver coffee, hot chocolate, or tea. The money they make goes into restocking supplies, and profit is saved up for things like lunches out or a field trip. They label each cup with the recipient's name and an inspiring quotation. Deshaun was moved back to his regular school but asked to come back to the Social-Emotional Learning Academy. He said he fits in better there and wants to stay until he graduates. It's the same for Tyreen, a freshman. I get my work done, he said. The teachers help you. And for Trayvon Allen, a third grader, the small classes and individual attention has helped him to finally learn a skill that eluded him before. I know how to read and I like to earn stars, he said, and he said it more than once. Second grader Jaden Pry enjoys doing homework now, and he didn't before, he said. And fifth grader Brody Roberts is looking forward to showing off his artwork at the Family Fun Night on Tuesday, when students will host an art show to give their parents a peek at one of the positive activities they do at school. Every year, or every teacher at the school is there because he or she wants to be, said the boys' teacher, Jennifer Panganaban. I was really missing kids, and this is an awesome place, Panganaban said. The culture is great. The community is great. Everybody chooses to be here. I think that makes such a difference in a school. I love the kids. I love the program. Everybody works really well together. For Annie Brawler, she did not picture herself teaching in an alternative program. She did her student teaching at SELA when it was in its former location. She lives in Springfield and did not intend to work in Decatur at all, but fell in love with the program. She's been at the school for 6 years now and continues to drive from her Springfield home every day because she's committed to it, she said. I enjoy working in the small school environment, she said. I love working with the kids on their social-emotional skills and incorporating it into their learning. A ton of reasons, really. I fell in love with the relationships we get to build with the kids in this one-on-one environment and seeing them develop those skills and the academic growth. And we'll read the captions here. So one very large color photo. Jadon Griffin works on a tablet after finishing lunch at the Social Emotional Learning Academy in Decatur on Monday. And he's standing up near his table, and his tablet is in his hand, and the classroom looks very fun and decorated with all sorts of learning materials along the walls and boards. And the photo credit is to Joseph Ressler, Herald and Review. Together Decatur, Eclipse glasses can have a bright future. School, store, collect eyewear to send to other Eclipse sites. Donette Beckett, Decatur. The 2024 solar eclipse and its magical trip over Illinois has come and gone. In its wake, it left a host of memories for those who gazed into the sky, and the thousands of pairs of the special glasses needed to witness the astronomical phenomenon. Less than 24 hours after the eclipse, approximately 90% of the glasses used by students at American Dreamer STEM Academy were returned to Megan Myrick, the school's parent liaison. The students learned the glasses would be traveling to other countries and would be experiencing the next eclipse. Several areas, including South America, Africa, and parts of Asia, wouldn't be as fortunate to have schools supply the eclipse glasses. They were aware they were returning the glasses. For a reason, said Donna Hahn, attendance secretary. That's all it took. The party shop at 411 North Main Street in Decatur has placed a basket on the front counter for people to recycle the paper glasses. We are doing this to help kids because we're a party shop, said the shop's owner, Cindy Dedrick. It just makes sense. Everyone is encouraged to bring the Eclipse glasses to the store. Dedrick got the idea to collect the glasses from other party retailers. Although the party shop didn't sell Eclipse glasses, Dedrick found a pair for herself. Like many people, she questioned what to do with them. after the big event had passed. "What are we going to do with these after 15 minutes?" she said. So this sounded like a good idea. In less than 24 hours, the basket was set out and began to fill up. "We've had a couple of companies, schools, bring them in," she said. We were kind of wondering how many we'll get. "The basket will be on display until the end of April. The staff will prepare and send the glasses to the organization Astronomers Without Borders, who will distribute them among families and schools in the next area experiencing an eclipse. They are going to send them overseas, mostly to schools for children to have them," Dedrick said, "because the glasses expire. The people who visit the store and hand in a pair of eclipse glasses will be encouraged to register for a $25 gift certificate to the party shop. According to the Astronomers Without Borders website, 2 solar eclipses happen each year. However, many of them will darken areas over oceans. The flashy glasses are important, no matter where an eclipse is viewed, to determine if your glasses can be recycled. AWB has a few requirements. The lenses need to be free of punctures, scratches, and bends, and the housing, where the plastic or cardboard, needs to be in good shape," the agency stated. "When looking through the glasses, the only visible thing should be the sun and other light sources as bright as the sun, such as bright white LED bulbs, including the flashlight on your smartphone. All else should be black." And we move on to local and state, page A3. Oberweis Dairy files for bankruptcy. Robert Chanick, Chicago Tribune. Oberweis, a century-old Illinois dairy with a recent history of Republican political aspirations by its owner, is seeking Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The family-owned dairy, which has dozens of ice cream stores and shelf space in the grocery stores across the Midwest, owes more than $4 million to its 20 largest unsecured creditors, according to the bankruptcy filing Friday in Chicago. Bartlett-based Italian food service company Greco & Sons is listed as the largest unsecured creditor at more than $721,000 owed. According to the filing, Oberweis Dairy also owes the Cook County treasurer more than $173,000. Started in 1915 when Peter Oberweis, an Aurora dairy farmer, began selling extra milk to his neighbors out of a horse-drawn wagon, the enterprise became Oberweis Dairy in 1930, according to the company's origin story posted on its website. Oberweis opened its first ice cream store in 1951 in Aurora. It has since grown to more than 40 locations that include Bloomington and Champaign, as well as the Chicago area, Northwest Indiana, Michigan, and St. Louis. Oberweis Dairy products, including Old School bottled milk, are also available in the grocery stores throughout the Midwest. In 1997, it opened a new production facility and headquarters in North Aurora. Joe Oberweis, the youngest son of Republican politician Jim Oberweis, became the fourth generation leader of the family-owned business in 2007. In a message Monday, Jim Oberweis said he is no longer at the helm of the dairy business. "I left about a year ago and am not involved," Oberweis said. Adam Kraber, who is listed as Oberweis Dairy's president on the bankruptcy filing, did not respond to a request for comment Monday. The Oberweis name became synonymous with more than milk in the new millennium when Jim Oberweis, chairman of the dairy and grandson of founder, launched a string of high-profile but failed bids for Illinois political office as a Republican candidate. In brief, registration online for Decatur's Senior Games, April 22 to 26, Decatur, the Decatur Park District, will host the 2024 Senior Games for men and women aged 50 and up to compete between April 22nd and 26th. The Senior Games include bowling, golf, free throw shooting, mini golf, pickleball, rope skipping, table tennis, and track. The cost is $10 for one event, $20 for two or more events. All participants will receive an event t-shirt and medals will be presented to the top three winners in each category. The closing ceremonies will take place at the Scoville Park West Activity Center, 3909 West Main Street. Registration forms are available online at decatur-parks.org at the Decatur Indoor Sports Center, 1295 West Wood Street. For more information, call 217-429-7750. Amisong to offer free concert April 20th, Decatur. Amisong, a chorus consisting of lesbian, non-binary, and feminist women, will present a free concert at 4 p.m. Saturday, April 20th at First Presbyterian Church, 204 West Prairie Avenue. The award-winning amateur group is based in Champaign and performs folkloric, classical, and women-oriented music. Its repertoire draws most heavily upon folk music from various world traditions, music written by women, and other music reflecting women's experiences. Sponsoring organizations are the Peacemaking Committee of First Presbyterian Church Decatur, Pride PFLAG of Decatur, and the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Decatur. A brief reception will follow the concert. Man who slashed tires and resisted arrest sentenced. Michael Knowles receives 24 months probation and plea deal. Tony Reed, Forsyth. The defendant who slashed tires on 11 vehicles in a Forsyth Hotel parking lot and then resisted arrest and threatening to kill the cops confronting him has been sentenced to 24 months probation. Michael E. Knowles took a deal negotiated by defense attorney Steve Jones and pleaded guilty to the aggravated battery of a police officer, further charges of resisting police, criminal damage, violating an order of protection, and driving under the influence of drugs were dismissed as part of the deal by Judge Lindsay Shelton. A sworn affidavit filed by Macon County Sheriff's Office Deputy Drake Lambden said the offenses date to around 2:45 a.m. March 16th in the parking lot of Homewood Suites. Knowles, 35, was described as riding around the lot honking his horn and screaming profanities. Lambden said Knowles had refused to get out of his pickup truck after being stopped by police shortly after fleeing the hotel lot. When he accidentally unlocked his driver's door, deputies seized their opportunity and won a tug-of-war to drag him out of the vehicle as he continued to resist before being shot with a stun gun. After Knowles was secured in handcuffs, he stated, "Take the guns off the taser. I'll kill you. Take the guns off and the taser. I'll kill you. I'm just expletive black belt in jiu-jitsu and will kill you all expletives," Lambden quoted the defendant yelling at police. Knowles was then placed in the rear of a squad car where he began kicking the windows and was eventually pepper sprayed. Police later found a carpet knife, which Knowles had used to slash the tires on vehicles in the hotel lot. Deputies discovered also that a woman staying at the hotel had an active order of protection against Knowles. The defendant had appeared in court April 3rd, and in addition to probation, the judge also ordered him to undergo substance abuse and mental health evaluations and complete any recommended treatment. The judge further ordered Knowles to pay $2,415 in restitution, pay $250 to have his DNA added to a criminal database maintained by the state police, and have no contact with the woman named in the order of protection. And we'll read the money page. A5, stocks slide, a strong economy causes bonds to surge. Stan Cho, Associated Press, New York. U.S. stocks slumped Monday after higher yields in the bond market caused by a strong U.S. economy cranked up the pressure on Wall Street. The S&P 500 tumbled 1.2% following up on its 1.6% loss from last week, which was its worst since October. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 248 points, or 0.7%, and the NASDAQ Composite slumped 1.8%. Stocks had been solidly higher earlier in the day as oil prices eased, with hopes that international efforts to calm escalating tensions in the Middle East may help. But Treasury yields also spurted upward following the latest report on the U.S. economy to blow past expectations. The economy and financial markets are in an awkward phase where such strength raises hopes for growing profits at companies but also hurts prospects for easier interest rates from the Federal Reserve. They're the two main levers that set stock prices, and they're simultaneously yanking Wall Street in different directions. Traders want lower interest rates, which can give the overall economy a boost, and much of the U.S. stock market's run to records recently was built on expectations for cuts. but strong reports like Monday's, which showed U.S. shoppers increased their spending at retailers last month by more than expected, have traders broadly forecasting just one or two cuts to rates this year, according to data from CME Group. That's down from expectations for six or more cuts at the start of this year. Some traders are bracing for potentially no cuts because inflation and the overall economy have remained stubbornly above forecasts this year. High interest rates and bond yields hurt prices for all kinds of investments, particularly those that look expensive or those that compete for the same kinds of investors as bonds do. And we move on to the Nation and World, page A6. Source: ship had power issues before setting out. FBI launches criminal probe into the deadly Maryland bridge crash. Associated Press, Baltimore. The massive container ship that caused the deadly collapse of a Baltimore bridge experienced apparent electrical issues before it left port, but set out anyway, someone with knowledge of the situation told the Associated Press on Monday, hours after the FBI said it's investigating whether any laws might have been broken. The Dolly left Baltimore's port early on March 26, laden with cargo destined for Sri Lanka, when it struck one of the Francis Scott Key Bridge's supports, causing the span to collapse into the Patapsco River and sending six members of a roadwork crew plummeting to their deaths. The Dolly experienced apparent electrical issues before leaving port, according to someone with knowledge of the situation. The person, who spoke on the condition of anonymity, said alarms went off on the ship's refrigerated containers while it was still docked in Baltimore, likely indicating an inconsistent power supply. Officials with the National Transportation Safety Board have said that their investigation will include an inquiry into whether the ship experienced power issues before starting its voyage. And we'll wrap up today's first hour with the Decatur 4-day forecast on page B8. Today, a strong thunderstorm, wind southeast 12 to 25 miles per hour, high of 82 degrees. Tonight, thunderstorms severe early, wind south 12 to 25 miles per hour, low of 65. Wednesday, rather cloudy and windy, wind west-southwest 15 to 25, high of 72 and low of 49. Thursday, decreasing clouds, wind east 6 to 12, high of 69, low of 51, and Friday, mostly cloudy, wind north-northeast 7 to 14 miles per hour, high of 60 and low of 43. Regional outlook, a strong thunderstorm today, little or no sunshine, with 80% chance of precipitation and average relative humidity 65%, drying conditions poor, thunderstorms severe early tonight. Skywatch, sunrise 6:16 a.m., set 7:35 p.m., moonrise 12:38 p.m., set 3:11 a.m., full moon April 23rd, last quarter moon May 1st, new moon May 7th, and first quarter moon May 15th. Well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. We'll take a short break and return with the second half hour.